السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who watches over us. At all times, even though we are unaware of Him, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is closer to us than our jugular veins. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who hears us and listens to us, even though very rarely do we call on to Him. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that only through His mercy can we enter into Jannah. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through His mercy He gives us times like the month of Ramadan to pull ourselves closer to Him. We then send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was sent not just as a mercy to mankind, but as a mercy to the world, who was sent not just to teach us how to worship, but also to teach us how to interact and deal with one another. We send peace and blessing upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family members, those who helped him and aided him, amma ba'd thereafter. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the most wise. And in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything in our deen and any action, anything that is made farad and mandatory upon us, through the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is always a purpose. There's a reason. There's a benefit. And we look at the month of Ramadan and the act of fasting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made farad upon every single Muslim with a very few exceptions. But what is it about this act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every Muslim in the world farad upon you every year? There's something about this act of fasting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is going to be beneficial, and it will be beneficial to a point that you will need to do it every year, not just once in your lifetime. But you will need that constant recharge for a 30-day period, not just once, twice, but for a 30-day period. So you look at this act and question, what benefit does this act bring to my life? What's the purpose of it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us that kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, fasting has been made mandatory upon you the way it was made mandatory upon the people of the past. And this part right here, what we understand is fasting is not just something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for our ummah, but it's something that even for the nations of the past, the benefit was there. And he tells us, what is that benefit? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can gain this quality called taqwa. So if you look at our fast, and the Prophet ﷺ, he says, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ, he says, how many people are there that fast, but they get nothing out of their fast except for hunger and thirst? That's all they take away from it. After a 13, 14-hour fast, the only thing that you leave with is thirst in your throat and hunger in your stomach. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the main purpose of fasting is so that you adopt this quality of taqwa into your life. Now the word taqwa, often it gets translated as to fear Allah. Ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a bit tough, because in other religions, they're taught to love their God. But now you look at Islam, why am I being told to fear Allah? Shouldn't I love Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, the one that's the most loving. Why should I not love Allah, and I should fear Allah? And the scholars say that this fear is a particular type of fear. It's a fear that you love somebody so much that you fear that this person may be upset with you. It's like when you really love your parents, or you really love your spouse, or a person that's about to get married and they love their fiance. And at that point, they're worried that if I do something wrong, they may be upset with me. So the fear is not the fear that you have against a lion or a predator or a person that can cause you harm, but the fear is that you love this being so much that you don't want them to be upset with you. You don't want them to be angry with you. And this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we fear Allah's displeasure. And we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his punishment. God consciousness, in the Quran, taqwa, there are over 150 ayats about it. Which makes you think that in Islam, this is actually a primary concept. It's not secondary. Because if it was secondary, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned it once or twice. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it 150 times, and on top of that, every time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about an action that's farz, an action that's mandatory, that every Muslim must do, he says the reason behind it is so that you gain taqwa from it. For example, Hajj. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Hajj, he says, and the best thing that you can take away from Hajj is وَخَيْرُ زَادُ taqwa. Is that you take away God consciousness. So now the question is, what does this God consciousness look like? What does taqwa look like? And the answer that Umar bin Khattab, he says that taqwa is as if you're walking down a narrow path and there are thorns and there are obstacles and there are things that are hazardous. It's like when you're walking outside today and it rained last night and you have to go to your car and you see mud puddles everywhere. So what you do is you gather your clothes so that your clothes don't get dirty, and then you carefully select where you're going to step. And you tell your child, don't step in the mud. Why? Because it will get your clothes dirty. And Umar bin Khattab says, taqwa is that you plan every move of yours in a way that you are conscious that this may harm me and that may move me back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this quality of taqwa is such a unique quality, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have only created man and jinn. The only reason is to worship. But then there's a problem. And the problem is, if we look at our worship through a 24-hour period, how much time are we worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And let's say if we were to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salah, 10 minutes for every salah, you're still at maybe an hour out of the 24 hours. So that ratio is off, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have created you just for this purpose, but from your 24-hour period, you only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 hour. So now you look at it, that how can I turn my other 23 hours into worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the answer to that is taqwa. Is that you're conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This quality can take any part of your day and make it into a worship. You know, Ramadan is about worshiping. And yes, we would love to sit with the Quran for hours, but we have other responsibilities. We would love to spend every night in Qiyam, but the next day we have work. So now you look at this quality of taqwa and you tell yourself, if I can bring taqwa into every aspect of my life, then that part, and that's the beautiful thing about taqwa, is that it can take any action and make it into an act of worship. You're at work and you have taqwa, and the 7, 8, 9 hours that you spend at work, it can be an act of worship. You're at home, you're spending time with your family, and you have the quality of taqwa. You're conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to do, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me to stay away from. Again, this is the fact that you're conscious about it. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us while fasting. Because in fasting, you're conscious about your intake. Your intake, that whatever you consume with your mouth, or whatever you consume with your eyes, whatever you consume with your ears. So this consciousness in fasting, it then translates into consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every moment a person thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. A person came to a scholar and asked the scholar, that I want to commit a sin, there must be some sort of loophole. I want to commit a sin, is there a loophole? And he said, go somewhere that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot see you. It's like, if you want to disobey your father, you're not going to do it in front of his face. You're going to wait till he leaves. You're going to wait till he's not there. And the moment that he cannot see you, that's when you may disobey him. Like, we're not saying you should, but that's when you do it. So he says that, disobey Allah. If you want to disobey Allah, do it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot see you. And he says, ya ma'ashar al-jinn. وَالْإِنْسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, O insan, if you can, O jinn, if you can, leave. Go somewhere outside of my kingdom. لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. You will only come to my kingdom. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching over you. And this is that quality of taqwa. That throughout your day, you're thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Will this act please Allah, or will this act have Allah upset with me? Now the benefits of taqwa. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Rush and hurry to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person that has this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared jannas for them, paradises for them, that rivers flow underneath it. And this is particularly for the people that have taqwa. He then says, what this will look like in your day-to-day life. How do you know that I have taqwa? How do I know that I've achieved, or I'm working, or I'm benefiting from this? He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّةِ وَالضَّرَّةِ. That the first quality of a person that has taqwa is that they will be open to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when times are good and when times are difficult. So many times when our financial situation is good, we're open to give. But when our financial situation is tough, we restrict our hands. On the way out, when you pass by that donation box, the amount of money that you put into there, the amount of money that you select on the Medina terminals, is based off of your financial situation. If things are going good, if you're budgeting well, then you put more. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّةِ وَالضَّرَّةِ. A person that has taqwa, they will spend when times are good and they will spend when times are bad, understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses the capability of turning my bad times into good times. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ لِلنَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The second quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person that has taqwa, they have control over their anger. And this is a very tough pill to swallow, anger. Because as much as I would like to say I don't have anger, and I'm in control of my anger, if you ask the people around me, they'll say something else. If you ask my spouse, if you ask my children about my anger situation, the answer will be different. But when a person controls the anger, this shows that they have taqwa. Why? Because they understand the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَافِينَ لِلنَّاسِ. The third quality is that they forgive people. And the reason for this is that they want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ نَاسِ. Whoever doesn't forgive people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that person. Whoever does not show mercy, whoever does not show kindness, and how can Allah show kindness to that person? So number three, وَالْعَافِينَ النَّاسِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people that do good. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that people that have this quality of taqwa, throughout your day, once again, as you sit in your car, you're conscious of, if I do this, it will please Allah. If I do this, it will displease Allah. When you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with your spouse, when you're at work, this is the quality that you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. This person will not have fear. This person will not have stress. This person will be lighthearted. Why? Because they left their matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now building their quality of taqwa. What does that look like? Number one, Ramadan takes us in that direction, but most likely you won't be at your destination. It's years of work, of constantly asking yourself, constantly reminding yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. And the reason why you cannot completely achieve it, because shaitan does not want you to achieve it. Every time you get closer to taqwa, every time you get closer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, shaitan comes and makes you forget. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله. Whenever shaitan wanted to defeat a nation, the first thing that he does is he makes them forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Now the ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ is remembering Allah. So one is taqwa, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your actions. And then number two, ذِكْر is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally. And there's a benefit to that. And one hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, كُلُّ كَلَامِ إِبْنِ آدَمْ عَلَيْهِ لَا لَهُ. Everything that you say, everything that comes out of our mouth, every word, عَلَيْهِ لَا لَهُ, it's actually on the Day of Judgment will be used against us, not for us. إِلَّا, except for three things. أَمَلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you tell somebody to do good. وَالنَّهِ أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you stop people from doing bad. وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He tells us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. As you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your hearts will find peace. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he brings both of these things, taqwa and dhikr, together, and he says that this quality of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it will do to you is, it will make sinning repulsive. The sins that seem so enjoyable to us, the luxuries that seem so entertaining to us, having taqwa will turn that around and will make that repulsive. And he carries on and he says that the example of this is like a person that loves honey. The way that a person loves honey, you and I, we enter in the month of Ramadan, where there are certain sins that we love, it's a part of us. But then you tell, he says that, then you tell that person that loves honey that this honey has been poisoned, they won't go towards it. Imam Ghazali says when a person has taqwa, the sin that they loved, you now poison that sin and their heart is pushed away from that sin. And this is when that person's heart can focus on things that matter. And that is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time came where the hearts of the believers shake? Something happens with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as crazy as this sounds, how can my heart shake? How can something happen to me by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You ask somebody that's deeply in love with another human being. Just hearing that person's name will bring a smile to their face. Their heartbeat will increase. Their body language will change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that hasn't a time came that my name has this effect on you? My remembrance has this effect on you. In one place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. I look at this verse and it reminds me of the month of Ramadan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, you know, coming to the masjid as often as you and I are doing now, at one time seemed impossible. Leaving the sins that we've left, it wasn't something that seemed likely. Spending hours in the masjid didn't seem realistic. Having this quality of taqwa, it didn't seem like it would happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and then you were able to gain victory over shaitan. You were able to gain victory over your habits. You were able to gain victory over your nafs. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ الْأَفْوَاجَ. And now you saw flocks and armies of people come into the religion to the point that a masjid that we just expanded is now short. That people are praying outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when this happens, when I give you this victory, فَسَبِّرْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, then praise Allah, glorify Allah, and ask Allah for forgiveness. And this is dhikr. remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally. So in today's khutbah, we understand the concept. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to fast, and that is to have the quality of taqwa, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala internally. And then you pair that with remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally. And this is where a person, their actions begin to change. And every action of theirs, it now becomes an act of worship. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, that this person, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. And this is the true purpose of any action, of any act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in Islam. Aqul qawli hadha wa astaghfir li wa lakum wa sa'il muslimin fa astaghfiru innahu ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. The month of Ramadan, where we teach ourselves restraint and we teach ourselves consciousness. The month of Ramadan is also a month to give. And Aisha would say about the Prophet ﷺ that Rasulullah ﷺ was the most generous of people. But when the month of Ramadan would come, his generosity would increase and he would be even more generous. And the reason for this is that the reward of giving increases. And this is why many of us, we give our yearly zakat in the month of Ramadan to maximize on this reward. As many of you know, alhamdulillah, we've opened the expansion of our masjid, but there's still a huge amount that the masjid is in need of. And throughout the month of Ramadan, we will continue to make this appeal so that inshallah you can maximize on your dollar and get the most reward for it. Currently, there is an immediate need of $500,000. $500,000 that the masjid needs, that we took as a qard before Ramadan, before the fundraiser, and our goal was to pay everybody back, alhamdulillah, from the fundraiser. So before the fundraiser, we took a loan from people, our community members, in the 15 people, and they all gave $100,000 each. We were able to pay back 10. We have still 5 people that we need to pay back. So in this month of Ramadan, we ask everybody that please, on your way out, donate. This is a part of the construction. The Prophet ﷺ says that whoever builds the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for them in Jannah. So in this month of Ramadan, maximize, make the most of your sadaqah. Given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for infinite mercy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you have mercy upon the Muslim ummah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you have mercy upon Muslims wherever they may be. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is a Muslim or wherever there is a human being that is going through any type of difficulty, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you remove those difficulties from their path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you have mercy upon our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make this month of mercy a mercy for them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not have food. Oh Allah, we ask that you give them food in this month of Ramadan. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not have shelter. Oh Allah, we ask that you give them protection in the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that you have given victory to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim in Badr over the Quraysh in the month of Ramadan, we ask that you give our brothers and sisters in Palestine victory in this month. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that you opened the doors of Mecca and you gave the conquest of Mecca in Ramadan, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you conquer and you give us fatah in Palestine. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you put an end to this endless killing. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you stop the oppressors. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make matters easy upon them. Oh Allah, those that have lost their lives, oh Allah, we ask that you give them the highest rank in Jannah. Oh Allah, those that are suffering praying until today that have lost loved ones. We ask that you give them patience and sabr. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you protect our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you keep our community united. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you protect us and do not test us with any type of hardships. O Allah, we ask for good in this dunya and we ask for good in the hereafter. O Allah, we ask that you guide our youth. O Allah, we ask that you keep them on the straight path. O Allah, we ask that you give us a quality of taqwa. O Allah, accept our fasting. O Allah, accept our standing in Tarawih. O Allah, accept our praying salah. O Allah, accept our reading Quran. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only reason why we are hungry and thirsty right now is for you. O Allah, there is no other reason. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you open your doors of mercy and you open your doors of reward upon us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you forgive our sins. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you overlook our shortcomings. O Allah, we ask that you pardon mistakes. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not let us exit the month of Ramadan the way that we entered the month of Ramadan. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we entered the month of Ramadan with a bunch of bad habits. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we entered the month of Ramadan broken. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you fix us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us break away from our habits. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us change in the month of Ramadan. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and actions that bring us close to Jannah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam and actions that bring us close to the fire of Jahannam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة.
Please move forward and make room for the brothers who are standing outside. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Just quickly, as mentioned in the khutbah, the masjid currently is in need of $500,000. Again, it's a large amount, but we're hoping that in the month of Ramadan, we can gather this amount. With this expansion, just to give you an idea of what this expansion has brought us so far, right? Alhamdulillah, of course, we didn't this year. We don't have a tent. We have everybody praying inside. We've actually reached the max, and there are now people praying outside. We've already, alhamdulillah, have opened a special dedicated room for girls to do their tarawih. A special dedicated room for boys that are memorizing to do their tarawih. There is a special room for kids with special needs. Parents leave their kids, and we have respite people watching over them. There is a child care during tarawih free for 80 kids. We had a qiyam for girls, just girls, with over 110 girls that attended. We have a boys' qiyam coming up. We had a kids' iftar the other day. We have a new Muslim iftar coming up. We have Sunday school iftar. So the community, alhamdulillah, is benefiting from this expansion. And we're trying to, you know, provide more and more services for our community. But the only way that we can continue to do so is, of course, through your generosity. So on the way out, please do donate. You know, there'll be pledge cards. If you don't have the funds right now and you'd like to make a pledge and pay over time, you can do that as well. Again, the masjid will continue to provide all their services, alhamdulillah. Tomorrow we have our community iftar. Everybody is invited to make sure that you come. There's also a dua request. Sister Sadia Rahman, she's hospitalized, Tariq Sayyid, who's in ICU, and the father of Afshan Irfan, are all sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a complete, everlasting, a total shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give their family member love and sabr and strength during these hard times. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.